Hello, and welcome to the Last Chapter podcast. I am Joe.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Corey.
And somewhere out there in digital space is Cindy. This week, we read Devil of Dublin by B.B. Easton. Oh, I cannot talk today.
It'll be hard to do a podcast then.
All right. Give the people what they came for, the summary.
Okay, so the summary. The Devil of Dublin is about Darby, a young American girl visiting her grandfather in Ireland. After hearing stories of fairies, she runs into the woods to find Kellen, a boy who hardly speaks. The town calls him a devil child, but she sees the good in him, and the spirit of the loch agrees by bonding them together with fate. Surviving many horrors, the two grow up, pulled apart by life, and have found each other again. But they've suffered a lot, and it's changed them. Will they be able to survive and find a way to heal together? Boom.
You did it. Not me. And, like, before we even started this episode, guys, I was like, oh, yeah, it's an age gap story. So, for people like me who need a refreshing, that was nice. Thank you.
You're welcome. Like, it's always one of those things with summaries where I was like, I don't want to ruin the ending. And then we do the podcast, how we just spoil literally everything. So if you haven't read the book. Oh, and we need a trigger warning.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So now a lot of you guys have, you as listeners and us as the hosts, have read a lot of dark romance to where we're a little desensitized to a lot of what's being written within the last like 10 years. But for a little bit of a trigger warning, there are mentions of sexual assault, Catholic Church being the Catholic Church. It's just abuse, things like that. If you're not comfortable hearing about or reading about, I would skip this book, maybe skip this episode, because while it gets into it, it doesn't quite get into it, and we might expand on that discussion because that's a big theme in this book.
Mm-hmm. And not only that it happens, but also how you heal from that. And like how you, when you have sexual trauma, like the way they handle it in this book, I was like, that's beautiful. The way they talk about having a sexual partner after that happening.
Absolutely. I have to say, in the beginning of the book, I thought it was quite beautiful. In a weird way, right? So like super dark. When she found him in the woods and they were like little kids and she thought that he was a fairy boy. Oh my gosh.
It was precious.
I loved it so much.
And then her grandpa coming out and saying, like, no, that's the spawn of Satan. That's the devil's son. Because was it Father McHenry or Father Henry or whatever his name was?
Catholic Father Henry.
This is Ireland, first and foremost. So you're either Catholic or Protestant.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. Son of the devil. Which is an interesting way to put it when you get to the end of the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, the way they tie it all together.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
It was beautiful the way that they tied it together.
Yeah, the letter from his mom at the end. Yeah.
I think we should start by talking about the two main characters. I loved her character. As flawed as she was, she was the most ride or die person I have read about in a minute.
Darby really was.
She made me so happy. I loved her so much.
For as many red flags that come with this book that there are, I felt like it was more of a beige flag when they did certain things. And like their relationship was more of a green flag, weirdly.
In a weird way, absolutely.
Yeah, their lives were red flags, but their relationship was like the biggest green flag for the most part. Like he eventually, you know, throws her in the locks her in the attic, and I'm like, all right, you've been doing real good so far, bud. What are you doing?
Absolutely. I laughed at that scene. I'm not gonna lie. But, like, I love how they went. So sometimes what irritates me, and I've talked about this in the past, so those who have been longtime listeners will know this. I hate when they do, I call it the Disney effect, right? So, like, boy meets girl, boy falls helplessly in love with girl over the course of, like, a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
No. In this book, it was a love story that spanned for years.
Yeah. And there was a good chunk of time where they weren't in contact.
Mm-mm. But they still loved
him. She thought he was dead.
Yeah. And she was mourning him 100%.
So I want to talk about, so it starts out with them. She, Darby's eight. So we have Darby Collins as the main female character. And then Kellen Donovan, who is the male main character. And they meet, she's like eight and he's like 10. Mm-hmm. And that's when, like Joe was saying, they just, she thought that he found a fairy, or she found a fairy because her grandfather, this was the first time she was ever in Ireland, because she's from, I want to say it was like Atlanta. Like, she's from the U.S., but her mom's yeah. from Ireland, and they're visiting her grandpa at the sheep farm in Ireland because her grandma had died, and he's like telling her all the stories about the fairies and about, hey, don't go on this side of the loch because there's a witch that lives there, but if you stay on this side of the loch, you can go in and find the fairy rings and give them like biscuits, which we all know are in the United States as cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, it was really precious the way she's just like, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the beginning of Up.
Yeah.
When she, what was her name? Ellie comes mm-hmm. in, like, right in Carl's face, that, like, we're going to be best friends. You have no choice. And that's kind of how that was.
Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah. That is literally
Darby was ready to go. She was so, she was like, oh, the devil? I mean, whatever. Anyway, I like him. He's, you know, he's my friend now.
She didn't know that at the time. I think it was the second time she went that she went back to Ireland the next summer, and that's when her grandpa told her.
And she was still
trying to him.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, can we just talk about that scene? When she braided his hair and he was getting so emotional over, like, such a beautiful and simple gesture to only go and be abused, I was, you know, he went back home. For those who are listening, we're going to get into, like, a pretty heavy subject really quick of abuse and sexual abuse.
Well, and what killed me with that was right before they got into playing Barbershop, he had sat there and he was, because he doesn't speak, he's like mostly self-mute,
mm-hmm.
self-inflicted mute, and he's upset with her because she wasn't there the first couple of days because of the rain on that second summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that was so sweet to me in a lot of ways. Getting to the abuse part, when he had gone home and the he wasn't a pastor, what was he?
He was a priest.
Yeah, when he was living with him and the priest, like, he abused him and then, you know, cut his hair like that, and like, oh my gosh, like, I was so emotional. I was like, that is intense. And then when she had come in and he was like trying to, you know, hide from her, and he wanted her to go because she had ended up going to the house,
mm-hmm.
and like, I get essentially seeing where he was, you know, living, where he was at. And he, like, when he was baring teeth at her, I was like, oh no, is he gonna hurt her? Like, the whole time I was like, oh no.
So what killed me with that too was when he got home and everything and the braid was still in and all of that, and then the priest, is it Father Henry?
I think it's Father Henry.
Father Henry starts. So he's like a drunk and he's like chain smoking and he's sitting there on his lazy boy or like whatever variation it was. Just going like, what the fuck is wrong with you kind of thing. And he chases Callan up the stairs and then he starts reciting scripture about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. And then, so I was listening to this on audiobook, so I didn't have the words in front of me. So when I heard what he started to do to Kellen while reciting scripture against homosexuality.
Oh. Which pot kettle, bud.
Seriously.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, and this is where we talk about, like, the sexual abuse. Like, he was, it's one thing to have someone beat you and to scream at you, but he's also getting the other end of being sexually abused as well.
Yeah.
This is where the trigger warning of the Catholic Church being the Catholic Church comes in.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I will say, like, she was ride or die the whole time with that. Even when he was like baring teeth at her and he was being the way he was, she was like, no. Like, I'm not going to go anywhere. She was
like, yeah, nosebleed sometimes too. And she didn't even, like, it doesn't even occur to her. Like, as far as she thinks of him, she always thinks best case scenario for him. And which is just so sweet. But also, once she finds out worst case scenario, she doesn't, like, flip on him or anything. She just goes, oh no, I'm so sorry. And, like, she thought it was a nosebleed. And then when she realized it wasn't a nosebleed, and that he didn't cut his own hair, and she's just like, she feels sorry for him, but also like is just wants to protect him. And he their hearts for each other in this book.
Absolutely. And like, you know, my only complaint is this, and this is a complaint I have with many books, right? Because even the book I suggested to you guys last night, or I read last night and I suggested it today. I am so sick of people using, like, and this is my own feelings, the cancer trope. I hate when they're like, oh, I killed off a parent because of cancer. Oh, I killed off a parent. Like, yo, I'm so sick of reading books where we're killing off parents for plots. Like, mom dying kind of pissed me off a little bit just because I was like, why can't we just have a book where, you know, the parent fucking lives? I don't know.
Well, because in this case, I feel like it worked because it was, so the grandma had ovarian cancer, and so generally that's like a passed on possible thing, and for her mom to catch it with that, and then that kind of builds into, it's one of those, in this case, it was a necessary evil that did work out. Like, it had a good, I hate to say it like that, but it's like it had a good setup of like, they knew it was we as the reader knew it could be a possibility, especially when
a lot. They also in the beginning hints of a lot that the mom was gonna die, like in the very, very beginning.
Yeah.
Like that chapter. Absolutely. It did lead up to, again, more trigger warnings to our listeners, to now we're experiencing our main character. She's experiencing abuse now after her mother.
We got to talk about the last summer before her mom dies, because that's so this is where we take this seemingly regular Irish mafia story and we add a little fantasy twist to it, bringing in Irish legends. Now, I was looking this up to see if I could find the actual legend, and I think this is more of something that was, like, taken from other lore and put to create, like, their own legend for Glenshire. Because I couldn't find anything, and I can't remember the name of the Lady of the Lake. It's essentially it's like the Lady of the Lock kind of situation, like the spirit of the Lock.
Yeah, her name's Saoirse. Or Saoirse, or however you say that.
But that last summer when she goes and she's just like, well, what are we going to do? Because at that point, Kellen, so basically they're throughout the 3-4 summers that they spend together. It was 3 summers because she skipped a summer and he was mad because she didn't come that last summer because the mom had to pay for cancer treatments. her medical bills, and she had to save up to go that following summer.
Yeah.
And she's all excited because it's like, I finally get to see Kellen. And at that point, Kellen had been staying at this cottage, this like dilapidated cottage that they'd been meeting up at, where the fairies were supposedly like congregating at. And he'd been fixing up this dilapidated cottage to get away from Father Henry and all of that stuff. And at that point, he was just still keeping his head buzzed because of what had happened the two summers before. And mm-hmm. she's sitting here going like, oh my God, he's grown up. But at this point, he's 14 and she's 12.
Yeah.
Which for some, like,
it's very young to get married, but there you go.
Well, she gets hurt because they're going out swinging at the lock, and then all that happens. Uh-huh. And it's just like, that was some freaking, I don't know how to describe it. Like, have y'all ever seen an episode of Last Airbender?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So, the North Pole at the end of season one, when they're having to, I think it's Twi. So, you have Twi and Law, the moon and the ocean spirits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual oasis, and Yue comes down. It's like the power envelops Twi, the white koi. Yeah. And like she becomes that. That's kind of like how I envisioned when she fell off of the rope ladder or the rope swing when they were diving in at the lake at the lock, and he carries her through the briar, like not the briar bush, but the blackberry bushes, because she fell directly into them. And I don't know, that I kind of got that imagery, like that bright blue.
Yeah, because there's a lot of that bright blue light for like the connection that they have through the Lady of the Lock. But the part you're talking about, there was one section I just really wanted to talk about because it hit me so hard. But right when, because they're basically skinny dipping, they're in their underwear to go swimming because they're not wearing swimsuits. And she's, like it says, she's, what, 12. And there's a bit that said, I stared down at my body before hoisting it up onto the ladder and I sighed. I missed my old body so much. My new one bled and ached and swelled and stunk if I forgot to wear deodorant. But what I hated most about it is how much people stared at it. The boys at the pool, the girls at the pool, my teachers at school who scolded me for wearing tank tops and measured the lengths of my shorts with a ruler, grown men like my Uncle Eamon. In my old body, I was just Darby. In my new body, I was just a body. And I was like, oh, I feel that so hard.
Yeah. That like, encompasses everything of, like, prepubescent girls.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, like,
I've got a 9 and a 6-year-old, and, like, to know that my 9-year-old is going to head towards that very soon. And just the ache I had for Darby, and just the ache I had, you know, when growing up, right then, I love this author so much. I love how that was stated.
Absolutely. I love, so the book then goes to pick up with Darby going back to her grandfather's funeral, where at this point, she, that he was, you know, her fairy boy was dead. She comes back to only find that he is not. He, trigger warning for anyone listening as well. This is a conversation about rape about to happen. She is, he rescues her because she was about to get raped from her fiance. And
right after she had run away during at the end of the funeral and ran into the witch on the wrong side of the lock.
Yes, yeah. Where the witch promptly tells her that they're tied together, they're married.
And it's like, you promised yourself to another man, and the Lady of the Lock is pissed at you, and that's why you have a rash under your engagement ring.
Which I love that little bit, because it's like this big honking ring, And can we talk about the fiance so much? Like, I have almost chapter by chapter notes, and right when he shows up, I'm like, I hate this man. I hate everything about him, and I hope he gets killed. And it just kept going. And then at a certain point, like, not even, like, when she's about to put her mother's ashes with her grandfather's body, and he's just like, anyway, let's move on. I have a certain amount of obscenities written down.
Yeah, when he's
Because
like,
that.
yeah, we should sell off the property because we have no use for it.
And that was just
Oh.
fucking gross when he said that. Like, oh my gosh. I was like, what is wrong with you, sir? I should have felt bad whenever. Okay, so he was, he went to rape Darby. He apparently is an abusive son of a bitch to her. And when he's my favorite. He's my favorite fairy boy. I called him that the whole book. But when he came in and killed him, I did not feel bad. I was like,
Nope.
no. But what's crazy? I want to like talk about this, her being a ride or die. When she seen he was alive, that was it. She was like, listen, my husband is here. It does
Yeah.
not matter. My man's.
Well, and
And
then
there's
it's like,
one line like when, oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say, he was so jealous too because he caught sight of her in the woods before she had walked back to her grandpa's house, which was now her house, and saw the ring, but she was wearing his jacket
Yeah.
Yes.
because he had left it in the cottage they had grew up together with.
And so, and after that, so like he kills the guy, and then he just starts setting about, okay, time to just get rid of a body. I know how to do this. And he starts working on that, and she like immediately thinks, oh, he's done this before. He must be some sort of spy or military guy because he's still got the buzz cut. And so she's like, oh, he's some super spy or some top military agent or whatever. And
Special
then the
forces.
way Special Forces, thank you. And then just the way she's like, okay, and in his head, he's just like, I'm kidnapping her right now. And I was just like, oh, honey, you cannot kidnap the willing. She is the whole time, he is so worried. And he's like, she thinks I'm this other person. She can't find out. I don't want her to know. And I'm like, I don't think you understand how ready she is to become a mob wife. Like,
No,
she
you don't
is
even know.
ready.
And can we talk about too? This is like a really important thing to talk about. In this whole book, again, I feel like this whole episode's gonna be just a trigger warning because it deals so much trauma. Can we just talk about how beautiful it was? Like, usually I'm not really into sex scenes and I'll like ignore them, but can we like talk about how beautiful it was that like when she started to freak out, he backed off and he was just like, "I'm so sorry," and like, we could just sit here and cuddle, that's fine. Or like when he froze up, she was like, oh no, babe, like it's cool, I'm here for you, like you tell me what you can handle, and vice
Yeah.
versa. Like they
Instead
took
of
their
the pot.
trauma.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying that they disrespected their trauma so much with each other.
The consent
Well,
in
and
this book is
especially,
so sexy.
and I, okay, so I'm a big fan of like just the way she said, I won't touch you. And like
Yes.
she understood immediately that touch was a thing for him, and she's like, I won't touch you at all. Like kept her hands up like above the shoulders and was like, we don't have to do anything. And I love that she was telling him that because I don't think there's a lot of dealing with like male trauma.
Yes.
And the way she is so gentle with him while also thinking this is the baddest dog in the park. Like he is, she
Oh.
thinks so much of him. And so like he's never emasculated at all in this.
No, it's just, and he
Ugh.
respects her. Like, it's been a long time since I've read a dark romance book where it was simply like, it was respect so much respect for each other. And I keep, you know, we keep saying this, but like, you know, even when she found out that he was not what she thought he was, it wasn't a, I'm going to leave him at all. She was like, yeah, this is still my man's. Like,
yeah.
She was like, I hate the fact that he was pushed into this lifestyle.
Yep.
And I don't want him to think that I'm terrified of him, but scared of the fact that this was thrust upon him.
Absolutely. Yeah, and like,
she's never afraid of him.
No, she's never. Afraid of
him. Not even when he has that PTSD episode and he just like automatically goes to choke her while they're in the shower because he's having a moment, and like he grabs her by the throat because he's like,
he doesn't realize it's her.
And then he's just instantly like regret.
And she too, she was like, I get it, like it's okay, let's talk about it. Like, I just, she was so like in her head when she found out he was her life, it wasn't ever a question in her mind. Like, that was her, that's her husband in her mind. Like, that is her man, that is her life, that is her everything. And you know what? I really appreciate that.
Yeah. So much.
I appreciate how incredibly healthy this entire romance was, if I'm being honest. I want you to say that because I'm going to spoil something a little bit before we wrap this up.
Yeah, I was going to say that for a dark novel, this was like the happiest, most healing, wonderful relationship, like where I'm just like, they're the cutest little cinnamon rolls, look at them murdering everybody and making their lives better and healing. But also like, in when she realizes he's like this assassin guy and she's about to again be in a rape scene and again be in a very bad situation, she was just like, what would he do? And immediately goes above and beyond to like set up so that they can get away with everything and move on with their happy lives together. And it was like, it was
this couple went head to head with the United Irish Brotherhood, with the Bravkas, the Russian mob, and then a Peaky Blinders like English mob group. And like, they went head to head with this. I also want to talk about really quickly about the fact that how Irish is it that an entire pub was just jamming along to Whiskey in the Jar as like Kellen was back there?
Like, oh my gosh.
Killing Russian monsters.
Love that scene. And I love too, like a little bit of what you said, Corey, like this woman, to anybody listening and getting this whole episode the spoiler, of course, this woman gave this man back his life.
And vice versa.
Like, at the end of the book, I was like, oh, you know, they're never going to leave each other. But in saying that, are you guys right? I downloaded the second book, kind of started it a little bit already. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a spoiler.
I've read two, and I got so mad I didn't finish the book.
The second one?
Yes, I read the first chapter, and I got mad, and I said, I'm not going to read it. So I read a synopsis instead.
Okay. It's about, do you want to ruin it for her?
So it ends with them all happy and everything, and they decide to stay, and he meets his mom, and there's all this healing and all this yay, and she finishes her book. And so the next book is supposed to be about a different set of people. And I was like, oh, but it's the first chapter is in Darby's perspective. And I was like, oh, they're going to wrap it up. Awesome. Because it's set like 20 years later. And I think it's just going to be this sweet little thing. No. She finds out she's pregnant. She finishes her book. Huh?
At 40?
No. It's like three years in the future. And then the book does a huge leap to like 20 years in the future.
Yep.
Oh. Okay.
So it's 3 years after this. She's finished her book. She's finished school. She's pregnant. She goes to tell him, and the Russian mob catches up and murders them both.
What?
Yeah. And the whole book is about how they're reincarnated because Sorsha the lock lady was like, not on my watch,
Because they're connected
reincarnated.
for
And they
eternity. Oh my God, are you fucking kidding me?
I was devastated. I was not okay. I was
I'm
not okay.
devastated right now. Oh no.
Oh, I'm
And
still
plot
mad.
twist, reincarnated is a Russian.
No! I don't need this in my life. Let me imagine them living happily ever after he found out, that his father Henry was his dad.
Oh.
Let me be happy with them now that he can grow his hair out without feeling awkward about it and feeling like it's not in his control anymore. Let them be happy together. Let them have like a love. Let him have his little wood carving.
Oh
No,
yeah.
they got like 3 years and that's it. And I'm still, I understand, and I'm sure the second book is going to be great and eventually I'll get over it, but I'm so mad.
Oh, I'm gonna read
Still.
the second book, so I'll let you know if it's, but like literally, and I mean, hypothetically speaking, could we say, yeah, they still in a weird way got their love story because they got reincarnated? Absolutely. But like, it wasn't them. It's not them.
Did they have to kill off my babies?
Clearly they fucking did. I was like, oh, okay. I
I'm in a
was
weird
real
mood.
quick.
I'm actually about to cry over that.
So I have a question. 'Cause did you do the audiobook?
Yes.
Okay, how was that? 'Cause evidently everyone absolutely loved the guy who does the audiobook.
So I really loved it. My issue was is and it's not an issue on the audiobook itself. I have a tendency to read it at like or listen to it at like 1.75 speed or a 2 speed. So trying to hear his low, soft Irish tone at 2 times speed. And the Irish speak quickly. Had to
Was
like
it
go.
more like a Lucky Charm situation?
No,
Oh.
it was a
I
very
guess
sweet.
downloading, I guess I'm downloading that book then.
Was so
Yeah,
good. And
it was.
if you have Audible, it was like $3, $3, $4 on Audible. Because it's on sale right now.
But my dear listeners, we have to wrap this up, for I have to go on base.
Yeah, and it's
On
like
four.
it's almost 2 a.m. for me. I gotta pretend I have a sleep schedule.
Love that.
Thank you guys so much for bearing with us and listening. This book was so fun, and I really hope like whoever is listening, please read the book. Like it is, I know we ruined it, but it's so much better.
It's an experience.
And then, what's exciting is the next 2 weeks is Corey's picks.
And I picked the first book is gonna be The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo. And so I'm very excited to read that one. And I am picking these picks are from the fact that they are both Evelyn books. And every time I see them out and about in the wild, I think it's the other book. So, and I bet you can guess which one the next one is.
Pretty much.
So excited to read both of these, if I'm being honest. I have been wanting to read them for a minute now, so
Yes.
and then I mean we're excited to for April's picks and
Make sure to check out Instagram towards the beginning. The last week of March to the first week of April, we'll be posting the reading schedule for the month of April.
yes. And as always, we're always looking for suggestions.
We are.
I don't know, maybe we could do something fun for April. Like, we'll read a book where they smoke a lot of weed for my birthday, 420.
Oh, you mean Easter?
Oh, I'm sorry. Sure.
It's gonna
Well,
be
they killed
so good.
marijuana hemp. But
That's gonna be a
in
very happy Easter indeed.
insane. Thanks for bearing with us. We love you guys, and I hope you enjoyed this week's book review.
Make sure to follow us on TikTok and on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you next time.
Next time. Bye, guys.
Bye.